God's house. We studied the passage that takes place before these verses and just after these verses in the healing or the raising of Jairus' daughter from death. But tonight we want to focus in on what happened between Jairus coming to Jesus and Jesus going to Jairus' house to raise his daughter. There was a woman who came seeking Jesus, and we want to take up that thought tonight in verse number 20 of Matthew chapter 9. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, that is Jesus, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the reading of thy precious and thy holy word. We thank thee for a woman who wanted to be made whole. A woman who didn't want to go on in life as she had been going on. A woman who determined she wanted to meet with Jesus. Oh God, I pray tonight that if there are those in their sin or coldness of heart, Lord, that tonight that they will come to Jesus. Oh, there's no other answer. There's no other way. There's no other hope. There is no other salvation. Jesus alone is the answer. His work, his finished work on the cross of Calvary, in the shedding of his precious blood, in the bearing of the sins of his people, suffering the punishment that sinners deserved, we thank thee that Jesus can save those who call on him tonight. Lord, we pray if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl sitting in their sin, that they will not leave this place in that condition, but by faith will reach out to Jesus and be made whole. Lord, empty this preacher of self and sin tonight. Fill me with thy spirit. O God, give me help to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy name. May Christ be honored tonight. May souls be saved tonight. May God's people be encouraged. For we pray in the precious name of our living Savior. Amen and amen. I wonder tonight, is there someone in this meeting or someone watching the service tonight on the internet? Is there someone who has a desire to be free from their sin? Is there someone in this meeting tonight has a desire to be free from the record of your sin that brings you great shame? Is there someone tonight that desires to be free from the guilt of your sin, which brings God's anger upon you? Is there someone tonight who desires to be free from the punishment of your sin that will result in hell? Perhaps for days, maybe weeks, perhaps even for months or years, you've been thinking about becoming a Christian, wishing you were saved. But still tonight, you sit in your sin. I have good news for you tonight. Jesus is passing this way. Jesus is passing this way. His word is open. And when the word of God is open, and when the gospel is being preached, Jesus himself is walking among us by his Spirit. And he's still calling sinners unto himself for salvation. The blood he shed on Calvary is still able to cleanse you and make you clean before God. He is able to change you tonight. That rather than the anger of God as he looks upon you, there will be the smile of God. He's able to change you tonight so that you don't fear going before God either in prayer or in worship or even in death, because you know it's well with your soul. He is able to change your life tonight. Jesus is passing this way today. And that's the news the dear lady in our passage heard. She heard that Jesus was passing that way, this day in her hometown, and how glad she was. We don't know who told her. We don't know which individual told her that the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus of Nazareth, however they referred to him, we don't know how she heard. But we do know this, that she came, hearing that Jesus was in the midst. I want us to notice the problem that she had. In verse number 20, behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. We read in verse 20 about the fact that she was diseased with an issue of blood, and that took place for 12 years. She was long afflicted with her problem. This wasn't something that had been happening for a few days or a few weeks or even a few months. But for 12 long years, she had this problem and was not able to be free from it. Perhaps there are some people who are able to identify with this woman in some measure because of your experience of long-term illness. Maybe you know what it's like for years to be afflicted with pain in your body. Maybe you know what it's like to suffer year after year after year. And you see the world go by and people getting on with their lives, and it seems to be that you are identified by the sickness or by the suffering. Every day for 12 years, she was aware of the problem in her body. And it affected every part of her life. This particular problem, this issue of blood, meant that she was declared to be ceremonially unclean, according to Jewish law. And anything she touched became unclean. And therefore, this woman would not have had the privilege of hugging her family. Her friends would not have come up and put their arms around her, because she was ceremonially unclean. And that meant they would be unclean and they would have to go through a ritual to be cleansed again. You know, as I thought about that lady, with that sickness that affected every day of her life, that affected every aspect of her life, I thought about every single person in this gathering. We were born into the world with a greater disease, the disease of sin. You see, we're sinners by practice, we're sinners by nature. You know what the Bible tells us? We are all as an unclean thing. And our righteousnesses, that's the good things that we do, they're like filthy rags. They're abhorrent to the Lord. And we do all fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Do you see what the problem is here? The problem is that we're all born in sin. We are all unclean, and not only that, the Bible says, and we do fade as a leaf. In other words, we're not here forever. Many people can testify, the older you get, the more weary you feel the body become. They know what it's like, as it were, to fade as a leaf. For the strength that you maybe had in your younger years no longer to be there. And the Bible reminds us that time is short, we are fading. We're only here for a little while. We're only here for a little season. Some people might make it to the 90th year, maybe to the 100th year. But friends, some don't even make it to the 20th. Not one of us can boast ourselves of tomorrow. But the Bible says our iniquities, our sins have taken us away. Our sins have taken us away from truth. They've taken us away from Christ. They've taken us away from salvation. And how long has a sinner been suffering with this problem? From the moment they were born. They were born as sinners. And while you may sit on save tonight in this meeting and feel some sympathy with this poor woman who had this disease for 12 years, dear friend, for your full life you've had a worse disease that has greater consequences than this one. because you have the disease of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And unless you're saved, your sin will damn your soul in a lost eternity. Now, if you turn with me, put a marker in there, but turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And as you know, Mark wrote a much longer version of this story, or this account, I should say, in his Gospel. And I want us just to note a couple of things that we don't actually find in Matthew's Gospel. But in Mark chapter 5, verse number 25, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. We see two things here. First of all, she had tried many cures and attempts to heal her. She had gone to many doctors, maybe specialists. Maybe she went to those who promised to be able to do something for her. And throughout those 12 years, she used the money she had to go to be relieved of the suffering. In fact, it says here she suffered many things of many physicians or doctors. She didn't just go for consultations, but they perhaps tried procedures on her that caused her to suffer. If not more, certainly it didn't alleviate the suffering she was experiencing. And we read that she had nothing left. She spent all that she had, and she had nothing to show for what she had spent. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, and remember, Luke was a doctor. In Luke's Gospel, he informs us that medically speaking, she couldn't be healed by any doctor. There was no hope for her. And as I read those truths, I thought about the many ways that sinners try to deal with their sin. Some people think that they can deal with their sin pretty much like this lady. Try different things and see what works to relieve your guilt, to take away your shame, to make you feel happier in life. Some people try religion, and I am here to tell you tonight that religion will take you to hell. It is not religion we're called to follow, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is true religion, and we rejoice in that. It's the preaching of Christ. It's the worship of Christ. But it is not religion that saves. You don't need religion tonight, you need a Savior. Some people try treatments. Some people are addicted to alcohol. Some people are addicted to drugs. Some are addicted to immorality. Oh, many different things we can list and name tonight. You know what we can fill in there in the blank. And they try treatments to get them off of it. And friend, they're trying and they're suffering through, trying to make themselves better, trying to make their lives a little bit better by cutting out certain sins. Some try to deny there's such a thing as sin at all, and they just try and dress it up. I'm doing my best. Sure, I'm a good person. Look at my life. Some make resolutions. I'll never do that again. Sure, many a person, after a night of sin out in the world, has woken up the next morning to hangover and said, I'll never do it again. A few days later, where are they? Back to where they were. People spend their time, their energy, their money, their effort, and their strength trying to get victory over sin. Trying to get control over sin. But tonight, they're like this woman. They have nothing to show. For all they've spent in life, they have nothing to show for it. They're no better, as it says here in the scripture. She was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Of course, there's some people see no problem in yielding to sin. They don't see sin as a problem at all. And sadly, there are many who have sinned away their youth. And we can use the words of scripture, and they're nothing bettered tonight for it. There are people tonight, and they've sinned away their bank account and their finances, and they're nothing bettered for it. There's people tonight, because of sin, have sinned away their friends and their family and their home and their job, and they're nothing bettered for it. Their reputation, some have sinned away their very body, and it's lying wrecked and ruined and diseased because of their sin. And friend, they're nothing better for it tonight. They have nothing to show for the life that they have lived. They've used the breath God has given them and sent it away. They use the strength and the health God has given and send it away. The heartbeat that's within your chest tonight, God is giving it to you and you're sending it away and you're nothing bettered for it. Every opportunity, and you've nothing at all to show for your life of sin. You tell me honestly, sinner tonight, is your life better because of your sin? Can you truly say it's been worth it? Can you look back with gladness over a life of sin and rebellion against God and say, it was great, I would do it again? Or are you going to be honest tonight and say you're nothing bettered? But the fears of meeting God, the anxiety about dying in your sin and going to hell, the shame, the regret, the guilt of a life lived without Christ. She was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And friend, that's you tonight. Because if you don't turn from your sin, your life will never be better, but it'll get worse. Because every hour you live, you're adding to the account of your sin, the record of your sin. Until the day and hour God calls you from this scene of time. At a time appointed, by the way, by God. And you'll fall into hell. Your problem with your sin tonight is this. It condemns you to a lost eternity. Your sin tonight separates you from God. Your sin tonight holds you in bondage right now. You have a problem right now. It's not just when you die, but right now you're separated from God. You're in bondage over sin. And you're a breath away from hell. And there's only one who can break the chains of sin. There's only one who can unite sinners with a holy God. There's only one tonight who can save you from the pit of hell. Friend, this woman had a great problem, so do you, if you're not saved. But not only notice her problem, see her privilege, because in Mark chapter 5, verse 27, it says, when she had heard of Jesus, that was the privilege she had. Oh, man and woman, what a privilege it is to hear of Jesus. What a privilege it is. She had heard about the power and the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Well, she wouldn't have been there otherwise. But not only that, she had heard at some point in her life about the coming and the ministry of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And in Malachi chapter 4, there's a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Messiah who would come to be the Savior of sinners. And in this prophecy, we read about something that would identify the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in Malachi chapter 4 verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. See the word wings there? In the Hebrew, that's been translated out of the Hebrew, it can also be translated the edge or the hem of a garment. And the prophecy therefore was that Christ the Messiah will be identified with this ability and power. That so great he is that people could put out their hand and touch the edge of the garment that he was wearing and they would be healed. And we have the fulfillment of this promise and prophecy in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in this woman who reached out. So this woman knew that if he was the Messiah and she reached out and touched him, she would be healed. So this was a woman who'd heard about Christ. This was a woman who had heard the word of God. And sometimes people in our world today, they think of the gospel or the Bible, the scriptures, as dull, boring, irrelevant. Yet it's through scripture that Christ is revealed. It's through the word of God, through a verse, through a chapter, through a sermon on a portion of God's word. God uses his word to bring sinners to Christ. And that is why we preach the gospel. That's why the majority of our services are taken up with the preaching of the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm asking you tonight, have you had the privilege of scripture teaching? Have you had the privilege of sitting with a parent who taught you the Word of God, sitting in a Sunday school, sitting in a church meeting? What have you done with that privilege? What have you done with the privilege of holding the Word of God in your hand? Friend, to throw away Scripture is to throw away the revelation of Christ. To throw away Scripture and to reject Scripture is to reject Christ. Friend, you could quote John 3:16 tonight. You could quote maybe many other verses of Scripture that you learned as a child, but you have rejected them. You have not acted upon them, even though you've had a great privilege. In your hand tonight, you hold a Bible. You hold in your hand the answer to the need of man's sin. You hold in your hand the way to God. You hold in your hand the truth about Jesus. Do you realize in this world there are some people who have yet to hold this book in their hand? There are some people who have never heard of Jesus. Friend, you have had the privilege in your lifetime. What have you done with it? You will give an account of what you have done with Scripture when you stand before the Lord. We've recognized this woman's problem. We've noticed her privilege. But let's look now at her prudence. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 9 once again, and verse number 21, her prudence or her wisdom. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Here in her mind, she thinks, this must be Christ. This must be the Messiah. This must be the healer. And if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. Why? Because she knew the truth. And she agreed with the truth. But at this moment, in verse number 21, she was not yet changed. You see, it's not enough to know the truth. It's not enough to agree with the truth. Knowledge in itself cannot save. Agreement with truth cannot save. But praise God, we see something further, some further prudence in her action. She exercised faith and acted upon what she believed. And look at verse 20. She touched the hem of his garment. She didn't just think about it. She didn't just talk about it, but she actually acted upon this truth. What's a scriptural approach for the sinner to approach Jesus and to be changed by him today? For this lady, with the Lord Jesus Christ himself standing in front of her, she was able to reach out in faith and touch him. How do we do it today? How can you be saved tonight? How can you be changed tonight? How can your life be transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the way that we come is we come by faith, just like this woman did. And by faith, we reach out to the Lord. And here's how we do it. Turn with me to Hosea and the chapter number 14. The book of Hosea and the chapter number 14. I'll give you a moment just to find that. It's toward the end of the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 14 and verse number 2. And this is how you come to Jesus. This is how you are forgiven. This is how you can be saved tonight. Hosea chapter 14 verse number 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Friend, that's how you get saved. You come with words. You come and pray to the Lord. And you say, Lord, take away all my iniquity. Take away all my sin. Lord, receive me. Save me. Cleanse me in the blood that Jesus shed. Friend, you have to call on the Lord. This lady was able to touch because Jesus was physically standing there. But tonight we're called to call upon the name of the Lord. And we shall be saved. And that's the scriptural way. That's the only way to call upon his name. There's a lovely old gospel song about what took place here in Matthew chapter 9. A woman tried many physicians, but grew worse. So to Jesus she came. But when the crowd tried to restrain her, she whispered these words through her pain, "Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name." And friend, tonight by faith, you can reach out and touch Jesus. Lord, save me. Oh, Lord, come into my heart. Come and change my life. Forgive my sin. Wash away my sin. And then you'll be able to sing with a hymn writer, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Friend, you'll notice that this was a momentary thing. She touched him by faith. And friend, if you call out on the Lord tonight, you'll be saved in a moment. You don't have to wait for hours or weeks or months until everything's processed. The Lord is able to save you tonight, this very moment. And we come now to look at this woman's position, because in chapter 9 of Matthew, verse number 22, Jesus turned him about when he saw her, and he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." You know what I love about this passage? There was a crowd there. Mark's gospel tells us there was a great throng, there was great press, and people were pushing against each other. But the Lord stopped, and the Lord took time with this individual. And friend, out of the billions of people on this earth, the Lord will hear your cry tonight. The Lord will hear you tonight. The Lord will take time with you tonight. He has time for you. You know what he said? "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." If you call on the Lord tonight, he will save you. And the Savior had a wonderful message for this lady. He had not just healed her body, but praise God, he had. He had done much more than that. He saved her soul. How do I know that? Look what he says. "Daughter." And that's relationship. "Daughter, she is now a child of God." Perhaps there's times sinners sit in a church meeting and they just feel so out of place. They feel uncomfortable. And it's little wonder, because the people there who are saved are praising their Heavenly Father. They're worshiping their Lord and their God. But the reality is, sinners are not the children of God. They're the enemies of God. Scripture tells us this. We are enemies. We're estranged from God by our sin. But the moment you call upon the name of the Lord, you're no longer an enemy. Praise God, you're a child. Adopted into the family of God, you're a Christian. And John's Gospel 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." There it is, believe. And friend, if you believe tonight and call upon the Lord, he will cause you to be saved and will make you a child of the King. Some people are very proud of their ancestry or of their line or of their name. Friend, no greater name could you have than to be declared as a child of God. That's all that matters when you stand before the Lord. So he says, "Daughter." Secondly, he says, "Be of good comfort." And those words mean, have courage and be of good cheer. There is joy in Christ. There is joy when your sins are forgiven. Rejoice, dear woman, because the Lord has received you. Rejoice, dear woman, because the Lord has healed you. Rejoice, dear woman, because the Lord has changed you. He saved you. And friend, there's no greater joy than be able to stand before God and know your sins are forgiven. I have seen people and heard people in prayer meetings, God's people praying, and their voices breaking as they thank the Lord for who they are in Christ, because once again, the Lord has shown them how blessed and privileged they are. Daughter, be of good comfort. There's comfort here for the sinner who'll come to Christ. There's comfort for your soul tonight. Oh, you've been troubled over your sin, over how you stand before God. But friend, you can have joy in your heart. Put your head upon the pillow tonight and know it's well. It's well with your soul. Then he says these words, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. See that word whole? In the Greek, it can be translated different ways. It can be translated whole, and it's a perfectly acceptable translation because it's talking about the healing of the body. But it also can be translated saved. Thy faith hath made thee saved. Or thy faith hath made thee healed. Or thy faith hath made thee delivered. You see, her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as she touched his garment, completely transformed her life. She was never the same again. And friend, the call of Christ himself in Mark chapter 1:15 is, repent ye and believe the gospel. Dear sinner, tonight will you not turn from your sin and believe the gospel? Dear backslider, tonight will you not turn from your waywardness and believe the gospel afresh tonight? Call on the Lord for mercy to give you the joy that you once knew, to give you the blessing of walking with him. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Dear woman, you can leave this place tonight with those words ringing in your ears. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Dear man, you can leave tonight with these words ringing in your ears. Son, be of good comfort. Your faith hath made you whole. If you will but exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thought tonight about this woman's problem. We thought about her privilege, her prudence, her position, and finally, the proof that she was changed. Look at verse 22. The end of verse 22. And the woman was made whole from that hour. In other words, in that moment, she was changed. From that hour, she never was the same again. Because that's the hour she met with Christ. When does a Christian show marks of being saved? How long do they have to be trusting in Christ before their life shows that they're a Christian? Well, the moment they're saved, their life will testify of Christ. Just like a candle starts to shine the moment it's lit, so too when a Christian or when a sinner is saved by the grace of God, the grace of God will be seen in their lives. There will be evidences, proofs, tokens of God's grace working in their lives from conversion. Yes, there's a path to walk. Yes, there's growth. And yes, there's maturity to be experienced in the days and the weeks and months and years. But the moment a person's saved, there's a difference. Friend, the burden's lifted. The Spirit of God now dwells within, and you know it is well with your soul. True salvation results in true change, and there will be clear evidence that the Lord has done a work in your life, a work that only God can do. Now, dear friend, I want to conclude as I started tonight. Is there someone in this meeting or watching this service who has a desire to be free from their sin? Is there someone who has a desire to be free from the record of their sin that brings them great shame and trouble? Is there someone desiring to be free from the guilt of their sin that brings God's anger? Is there someone desiring to be free from the punishment of their sin in that awful place called hell? I have good news for you tonight. Jesus is passing this way. He's able to save you tonight. And friend, if you're not right before God, I beg you and I plead with you and I urge you, don't go out those doors without Christ. You don't know when he'll call again. You don't know if you'll have another opportunity, but praise God, you can leave tonight knowing that your soul is safe in the hands of God. As we conclude our meeting tonight, we're going to sing a hymn. It's a hymn of invitation. And I want us to sing it with all of our hearts. And if you're not saved tonight, as we sing, call upon the Lord to save you. Call upon the Lord to save you. One there is who loves you, waiting still for thee. Canst thou yet reject him? None so kind as he. Do not grieve him longer. Come and trust him now. He has waited all thy days. Why waitest thou, friend? There's not one reason anybody can give for rejecting Christ tonight. There's not one reason that's worth it. But praise God, you can come to the one who's ready to see.